If you've ever felt like you didn't quite measure up, like you've fallen short of other people's expectations, like your failures are much more obvious than your success, you are not alone. If you've ever felt unworthy, felt like a disappointment, or like no matter how hard you try, you just can't get it right, you are not alone. If you've ever felt trapped in a cycle of frustration, pain, hurt, or even rejection, you are not alone. And if you've ever felt stuck and you long to be free, you are not alone. There are many people who wrestle with all of those kinds of feelings and emotions today and every day. But this is not a new phenomenon. One of Jesus' most famous conversations is with a woman who could identify with almost all of those emotions and feelings we just recited. She was stuck in a messy cycle from which she just couldn't seem to break free. This conversation is written down for us by Jesus' disciple named John. We know his biography of Jesus as the Gospel of John, and we're working our way through the encounters Jesus had with people as written down by John during this series called Among Us. And I want to invite you to find John chapter 4. That's where John tells us about Jesus' conversation with the woman we know as a Samaritan woman at the well. Now, while you're finding John chapter 4, let me just remind you that last week we talked about a conversation written down in John chapter 3, a conversation between Jesus and a man named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus could be considered the ultimate insider in the Jewish community. He was highly respected, influential, and he was religious. He comes to Jesus one evening seeking information, and instead, Jesus invites him to experience spiritual transformation. Maybe you remember that Jesus invites him to move from just simply living by rituals and routines to actually living in relationship with him every single day. Well, today, we are going to talk about a conversation with a person the exact opposite of Nicodemus. If Nicodemus is the ultimate insider, then this woman at the well is, by all measures, the ultimate outsider. I mean, she is a disappointment. She is a failure in many respects. She is unwanted, and she's probably been rejected. But Jesus' encounter with her changes everything. So let's go to the scripture. And if you look at John chapter 4 and you look at verse 3, you discover that Jesus is leaving Judea and he's traveling to Galilee. And verse 4, he had to go through Samaria on the way, says John. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Now, before we go any farther into this event, I want to make sure you notice a really important detail that John leads with at the beginning of this story and conversation. He tells us that Jesus had to go through Samaria on the way. Now, here's the reality. There were lots of different ways to get from Judea to Galilee. In fact, most devout Jewish people would never have taken the route Jesus did. They would have taken a longer route around Samaria. They wanted to avoid Samaria and avoid encountering a Samaritan at all cost. So John is very strategic here in telling us that Jesus, with purpose and intention, was going through Samaria on his way back to Galilee. Jesus intentionally chooses to go this way. Think about this. He chooses to go where others wouldn't go so he could offer grace and hope to people who desperately needed it. Jesus wasn't then, and he still isn't, afraid of messy places and afraid of messy people. He intentionally meets us right where we are so we can experience His transforming grace and truth. Jesus has always done this, but it still surprises us. And it certainly surprised and caught off guard the woman at the well. In verse 7, we read these words. Jesus is already sitting wearily by the well. We found that in verse 6. And now a Samaritan woman comes to draw water. And Jesus says to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The Samaritan woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She says this to Jesus, "You're a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" This woman is so shocked that a Jewish man would ask her for anything. In fact, for a Jewish person to touch a cup of water that had been given to them by a Samaritan meant that in the Jewish law, they were ceremonially unclean. So this woman is totally shocked that a Jewish man would ask her for a drink of water. Not only is she shocked, but the other people around are shocked because the disciples, we're told in verse 27, they come back after buying the food that they've gone to get because they're hungry. They see Jesus talking to this woman and it says they are shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Why are you talking with her? You see, this woman was surprised that Jesus talked to her because she lived her life seeing herself through the lens of cultural stereotypes, prejudice. And not only did she see herself that way, so did others. Even the disciples saw her through that lens. When you unpack the details of this woman's life, it's really easy to see that she was a Samaritan woman stuck in a messy, messy cycle. And here's what the cycle looked like. She was stuck in a messy cycle of insignificance. As you look at this conversation, you begin to see these details emerge. She was a Samaritan. And just because of her ethnicity, she was considered second class. In fact, she would have been so far beneath considered a normal wanted person, so insignificant that she would have been shunned by all of the Jewish people around her at that time period. She was considered insignificant because she was probably poor. She was carrying water by herself at noon, and wealthy people had servants to carry their water. So she's a Samaritan, and she's probably poor, and she's a woman. In that culture, women were treated as property. Her opinion would not have been important. It wouldn't have been considered. She wouldn't have been considered of value at all in a male-dominated society. And no man of high moral character would have been caught alone in conversation with a woman, period, let alone a Samaritan woman. She was caught in a messy cycle of insignificance. And she was caught in a messy cycle of broken relationships. In the course of this conversation with Jesus, verses 16 through 18, we discover that she really is living a relational nightmare. Verse 16, Jesus asks her or commands her, "Go and get your husband." And she said, "I don't have a husband." And Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't married to the man you're living with now. You have certainly spoken the truth." Now, our first assumption when we read these words is that this woman must have been very loose, maybe an immoral woman, because maybe she is the problem. Maybe she has caused these five husbands to come and go, and now she's living with a man she's not married to, and she might have been immoral. But I think it's important to remember that marriage and divorce functioned very differently then than it usually works in our world today. At that time, men were in complete control of marriage and divorce. In that society, a woman could not divorce her husband. Only men could file for divorce. And they could and did file for divorce for virtually any reason. So it could be that this woman has just simply been living through one rejection after another. In addition, life expectancy was very short for men at that time frame, a time period, and so often men died before their wives, leaving them widowed at a young age. Nowhere does Jesus actually indicate that she's the problem, that she had caused these broken relationships. We simply don't know all the circumstances, but we may be encountering a woman here who had faced all sorts of heartache through the death of her husbands or through their rejection. What we know is this, that she has experienced a messy cycle of feeling insignificant, a messy cycle of broken relationships, which has led to a messy cycle of judgment. We can assume that because she is getting water at the hottest time of the day. The normal routine would have been to draw water either in the morning or in the evening when it was cool and much more pleasant. But she's at the well when she thinks no one else will be there. She's probably there to avoid having to talk with or even encounter anyone else. Thinking about her relational status, she probably prefers a walk in the hot sun as opposed to experiencing the sharp words of judgment or the sideways glances of disgust. She's used to living, being judged by people around her. And even though this may not have been her fault, her condition, her situation, in that culture, if a woman was unmarried and not able to live with relatives, she often had to endure homelessness or resort to prostitution simply to survive. She was living in a messy cycle of judgment. And in addition to all of that, when you look at the conversation, it's easy to see that she's also got this messy cycle of confusion, spiritual confusion, swirling around in her mind. As you watch the conversation unfold, you discover that she has some really significant, thoughtful questions about God and about worship. Look with me at verse 19. "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worshipped?" And Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now," Jesus says it's here right now, "when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. For God is spirit, and so those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said, "The Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ, and when He comes, He will explain everything to us." And Jesus tells her, "I am the Messiah." Now we look at that part of the conversation and we look at this woman's question, where to worship. And it may seem a bit trivial to us, but it was a huge issue of contention in that society. The Jewish people believed that you could only worship at the temple in Jerusalem. And Samaritans, who were part Jew, they had Jewish heritage, but they had intermarried with people from other countries. They worshiped the same God as the Jewish people, as we worship, but they believed you could worship Him at their location in Samaria. So they had built a temple, a place of worship there, and it created great turmoil between these two groups of people. In fact, it had been such a point of contention that it actually led to an act of violence. Jewish history tells us there were some Jews who marched into Samaria and actually tore down, destroyed the place where Samaritans worshipped. People died. And fires of hatred were stoked even more between these groups of people. So her question comes from this place of confusion and wanting to understand. How can these two groups of people who are supposedly worshiping the same God be in such conflict? Who's right in this? And Jesus cuts through the clutter for her. He clarifies it for her. When he helps her understand, the real issue is not where is the right place to worship. That's not the real issue here. The real issue, what's important, is not where you worship, the location you worship, but it's who you worship. And he says true worship doesn't have to do with a location. True worship is your spirit, your heart, your soul, your mind, connecting with God and God's spirit and focused and centered on God's truth. I think it's so compelling that the Samaritan woman's conversation with Jesus is the longest recorded conversation our Lord had with another person in Scripture. But Jesus cares about this woman. He cares about the fact that she is caught in this messy cycle of spiritual confusion and insignificance and broken relationships and living with a cycle of judgment all around her. He cares about her. And if we're honest today, there's something in us that resonates with this woman. Because many of us could relate to her and we could say, I can understand what she's going through at some level. Because we have found ourselves caught in a messy cycle. Maybe a messy cycle of habits that we can't seem to break. Or attitudes that keep rearing their ugly heads. We've caught ourselves or found ourselves caught in a cycle of sin, or trapped in a relationship that seems to be going nowhere except over a cliff. Maybe we have felt caught in a messy cycle of confusion. We have questions, we need understanding, and we can't seem to find clarity. Maybe we can relate to being in an unhealthy cycle of thoughts that depress us and rob us of joy. And Jesus offers us what he offered this woman. Jesus intentionally comes to where we are, and he meets us in the middle of our messy cycle, and he offers us the same care, the same compassion, the same truth, the same gift, the same grace, the same hope that he offered to this Samaritan woman. Because Jesus intentionally reaches across every barrier that keeps us apart. He intentionally reaches across every wall that separates us and every division that divides us. And he offers us grace and truth. When you look at how Jesus interacted with this woman, you discover that Jesus offering grace and truth in this conversation, it looked like this. Jesus intentionally offered her significance. Significance as a person of value. She discovered in her conversation with Jesus that he was saying to her, I know you. I know you are a Samaritan. I know you are a woman. I know your life has been hard. I know you've been through a string of broken relationships for whatever reason. I know your story, and I care about you. I mean, Jesus has just told Nicodemus earlier that God loved the world so much that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes on him shouldn't perish, need not perish, but can have eternal life. And Jesus, right here, is saying to this woman, you are one of the people that I came from heaven to earth for. You are one of the people that I am going to go to the cross and die for. Jesus gives this woman the gift of significance. She has value. Jesus offers her honesty about her reality. I love the fact that Jesus doesn't ignore the messiness of her life. He doesn't ignore it. He doesn't pretend it doesn't exist. He actually brings it up. He says to her, go get your husband. He knows the situation. He wants her to be honest about it with him. He acknowledges it. And then, having her realize that he knows all of the brokenness of her life, he offers her respectful, kind conversation. In the normal situation, in the normal course of these events, a Jewish man would have never had any conversation with her at all. But if they found out the situation of her relationship status, they would have definitely had no conversation with her. And instead, Jesus offers respectful, kind conversation. It's likely that she had never had a man, let alone a Jewish man, interact with her from a posture of respect and kindness. But Jesus does. And in that conversation, Jesus offers her truth to live by. As always, Jesus meets her right where she is. He meets her at the well, and He offers her grace and truth. Jesus always meets us where we are, but He loves us too much to leave us there. He wants to meet us where we are and in that spot bring healing and freedom and clarity to our confusion and transformation to our lives. In fact, Jesus brought healing to her, and healing brought freedom to her. After asking for a drink and initiating the conversation, Jesus isn't put off by this woman's surprise. He's not put off by her question, "Why would you, a Jewish man, ask for water from me, a Samaritan woman?" In verse 10 of John 4, Jesus replies, "If you only knew the gift of God, if you only know the gift He has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, and "this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." And I love this woman's response. She says, "Please, sir, give me this water." Jesus offered her what she needed most: healing in her heart, healing in her life, so that she could go from that point and live differently. And He offers the same thing to us. He offers us significance. We're people of value. He was willing to die for us. He offers us honesty. We don't have to hide before God. He offers us the truth about all that's happening in our lives, and He is not afraid of our messes and of our brokenness. He offers us respect and kindness and grace. He offers us truth to live by. And He offers us healing. Healing from the inside out. His Spirit, forgiving and cleansing and giving purpose and hope and joy and peace, that becomes like a spring within us that keeps us refreshed and satisfied and filled with meaning in our lives. You see, this encounter with Jesus broke the messy cycle in this woman's life. It broke the messy cycle. If you look at this passage, I hope that you won't miss verse 28. After her conversation with Jesus and after the disciples have returned from getting food in the village, verse 28 says, "The woman left her water jar beside the well, and she ran back to the village, telling everyone, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?' And so the people came streaming from the village to see him." John is very strategic in making sure we understand that this woman left her water jar behind. In that situation, that jar was a symbol of the messy cycle she had been caught in. That water jar in that situation was a symbol that she was poor, that she was considered insignificant, that she had been rejected, that she was living in confusion. But she left it all behind, because after she encountered Jesus, she no longer defined her identity by the burden that she'd been carrying. She no longer identified her identity by the burden she had carried. In that encounter with Jesus, the shame of the broken relationships was healed. The insignificance of her life was swallowed up in the significance of the moment. All the stuff that had caused her shoulders to sag and avoid people, it was lifted from her. Jesus changed everything. And when you and I encounter Jesus, when we open our hearts to Him and experience the healing that He offers, the grace and truth that He offers, we no longer have to be identified by the messy cycles that we have lived in. No, we can experience the same transformation that this Samaritan woman at the well experienced. And something happened to her so dramatically that as you look at the remaining events of this conversation, you discover that people who had avoided her now followed her. In verse 39, it says that many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because this woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." And when they came out to see Him, they begged Jesus to stay in their village. Remember, these are people groups that hated and despised each other before Jesus enters the scene. And it says that Jesus stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear His message and believe. And they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard Him ourselves, and now we know that He is indeed the Savior of the world." This woman was so dramatically changed that it impacted all of the people around her. And when you and I encounter Jesus, not only does it change us, but it will impact the people around us. This is such an amazing conversation, and there's so much more we could say about this encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. There's lots more applications that we could give, but I want to wrap it up by asking you 3 simple questions. Would you just consider these questions in light of this conversation Jesus had with the Samaritan woman? Would you ask yourself, am I stuck in a messy cycle? Whatever that looks like, am I stuck? Do I need to be free? Do I need to move forward? And if you find that you are stuck in some sort of messy cycle, you need to ask, am I willing to let Jesus bring healing and freedom? Because that's what Jesus came from heaven to earth to do. It's to bring you healing and freedom, to get you out of that messy cycle, whatever it might look like. And there's a final question I'd like for us to ask. In light of how Jesus treated this woman, in light of the way He interacted with her, and knowing that all of us have difficult situations in our life, difficult relationships or people that we feel awkward around or uncomfortable with, am I willing to follow the example of Jesus in my relationships? Am I willing to be intentional? Am I willing to treat people with value, even though I may disagree with them? Am I willing to offer honesty? Am I willing to offer respect and kindness? And most of all, am I willing to offer the grace and truth of Jesus? Grace and truth that transforms lives. I hope that as you consider these questions, as you consider this truth from Scripture, that you will let it help you move from being stuck to being free. Let's pray together. Jesus, we are so grateful for Your amazing example. We're grateful for Your grace and truth that transforms our lives. I pray today that You would help us to be willing to just be honest about what's happening in our own lives. And if we're honest, we're going to admit that we have found ourselves a time or two, or maybe even now, in a messy cycle. It might be habits that need to be broken or patterns of sin that need to be freed in our lives. Or it may be that we have just gotten ourselves into an emotional or mental funk and we cannot get our thoughts where they need to be or our attitudes right. And we've just found ourselves going and cycling from one negative thing to another. And God, you want to free us from that. You want to break us out of those cycles. And so I pray that you would help us be willing to open up our hearts to you so that you can help us experience the same living water that this woman experienced. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be willing to follow your example as we have the privilege of living our lives with the people around us. Help us be willing just to love like you loved, to treat people like you treated them, and to offer them the grace and truth that you've offered to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.